Morning, church. It's good to see you. I'm going to invite Kristen Easter and Nate Bundy to join me up here on stage now. We're going to do a quick interview to highlight our Neighborhood Needs food fundraiser. And if you were here last week, Rich Briggs, our ministry leader, and I kind of kicked it off, and you guys responded like you always do. You're a generous church. God has gifted this place with the gift of generosity, I believe. And so we're well on our way. As of Thursday around noon, we had received $5,800 to start us on our way toward our goal of $20,000 for Neighborhood Needs. And so today, Kristen Easter, who works at North Crowley High School, among the many things that she does, she coordinates the Panther Emporium. And so, Kristen, if you would, if you were here last year, you might remember Kristen. She was with us and graciously agreed to be with us again, because there's so many things that are still happening, but new things now that are happening. So just give us an executive overview about the Panther Emporium and all that happens there.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me back. At North Crowley, we have a Panther Emporium that is a campus resource center. Essentially, it's an extension of what is going on here at Neighborhood Needs. We're super excited about that partnership. We would not be able to provide all of the resources to our students that we do if it wasn't for the generosity here through Neighborhood Needs. We have a clothing closet that we are able to give kiddos clothing if they spill on them. They need a change of clothes. We can wash and dry them for them at our campus. Shoes all throughout the day. You never know what's going to go on with your footwear throughout the day, it seems like. The stories that we've heard about footwear up there is crazy. Also, we have school supplies, anything that they need, hygiene products. We send out about 5,000 snacks each month. And we have our formal attire section that we were able to clothe some kiddos for our homecoming. That was a couple weeks ago. We'll do the same for our military ball and for prom. We have about 400 pieces in our men's formal attire section and over 250 formal dresses for our ladies. We also send out weekly cuisine kits to ensure our kiddos have food over the weekend. And every Thursday, we pick up from Miss Becky and Tennis and Bob over at Neighborhood Needs. They give us at least 1,000 pounds of food every week. We take it back to our campus, and our student volunteers come in and repackage the food so we can distribute to our students every Thursday. This past week, we sent out 156 cuisine kits, which is super exciting. We are able to put recipe cards in there to make sure our students are getting healthy meals when they're at home and teaching them how to cook with their family.
Wow, that's a lot. Praise God for all the things that you're, yeah, that's wonderful. And just in response, we are grateful to be in partnership with you and all the things that you're doing to help the kids, the students, and their families. So next, we do have a picture of Rich Briggs, our ministry leader, sitting around the table with some of the students, and he's identified what some of these students have said that they would like to be as they graduate, as they think about college. And so from your perspective, Kristen, how is the Panther Emporium preparing students to be not just healthy but productive young adults?
Absolutely. We have the opportunity to host several events in our Panther Emporium suite. We are connected to the campus kitchen, which is really exciting. So the picture that you're seeing was a breakfast for our community partners, and Mr. Briggs was sitting down with several of our student volunteers that came in at 6 o'clock that morning to prepare the breakfast. So through these opportunities, we are able to teach our students the value of community service and hoping to instill in them giving back to others and the importance of being the hands and feet for our community. So we talk about kitchen safety through that and the proper use of all the appliances in the kitchen and how to keep a clean kitchen through that. And we give a lot of our kiddos food handlers licensing through this so then they can go out in the community and get further careers through these opportunities. While Mr. Briggs was talking to all these students and figuring out what they wanted to be when they left school, we know that our goal as educators is not just to teach the academic student and to get them graduated. It's to teach the full student and make sure that they have the resources that they need to be productive citizens in our community. And that's a huge part that's on Rich's heart and what he comes to campus and shares.
Very good. Thank you, Kristen. So, Nate, you recently got to visit the Panther Emporium and just kind of see how everything functions, how it goes. So share with the church about your experience, and then also you and I and the staff have kind of talked about how we would like to continue to build relationships with schools and administrations and teachers and students, and so just talk to us about that.
It was really cool to get to go there. It's one of those things where, you know, sometimes you go on a mission trip and, you know, you build a house or you do all this kind of stuff, and then you walk away and you don't get a chance to, you know, and you feel good, you know, but we did some good, but you don't really get a chance to see that ministry in action or the benefits of what you've done and how it benefits the people. Walking into Panther Emporium, it was like stepping into the midst of that ministry. And so often, you know, you come to, even if you volunteer at Neighborhood Needs or you volunteer at Tuesday Lunch or things like that, you get a chance to see people take this food and really appreciate that. But it felt more, when I went to the Panther Emporium, like I was walking into the homes of those people in Neighborhood Needs and seeing the benefit of all of these kids and you know, I was there visiting and school had already started, and, you know, a kid walked in and said, "I'm hungry, I need a snack." And as Kristen just said, "Okay, sign your name, get your snack, go," you know, and getting to know that, you know, that this formal homecoming was coming up, and walking in and seeing these are not secondhand, you know, low quality suits and dresses. These are things that these students can be proud to wear and proud to put on and proud to be a part of. And so, one, the ministry to every single kid who goes to North Crowley, that was like really, really cool to see. But then also, what was really amazing to talk about was with that picture that we showed of Rich sitting around that table. These volunteers, the ministry that's you know, when you do ministry, you always recognize that you almost, it seems like you're like, man, I'm getting more out of this than they are, you know. To see the maturity of these kids it's not just getting up at 6 o'clock. In particular, the girl who's the psychology major there, it's not like she says, I'm going to be a psychology major. That's not her plan at all. You know, when I was that age, I had no clue what I wanted to do, and I was like, I guess I'm just going to go and be a pre-med major, and I want to do something in the medical field. I'm not exactly sure, until God called me into ministry. But that girl in particular is passionate about what she wants to do, that she wants to go, is it Chicago? Is that she? And it's not just she wants to go to Chicago. She wants to go to South Chicago or an area of Chicago. She says, there's this work there that isn't done there. I've been there. I've seen it. I lived there before. And I'm going to go and I'm going to get this degree. And then I'm going to, you know, get this and get this certification and do this. And then I'm going to do this. I mean, and she has her next 10, 15 years mapped out. It was fantastic to see the maturity there. So just all the ministry that goes on to the kids in North Crowley, but also to these volunteers, and it's all made possible by Neighborhood Needs and ultimately by people who are able to give to that. And so if you want me to continue on quickly.
You have 60 seconds.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, ministers speak too long. Within that lies a great opportunity. The administration of Crowley ISD have shown a desire. They want churches and church programs inside their schools. That's not an opportunity that you get very often. But there's also all sorts of programs to get into all public schools, all private schools in the area. And the staff and the leadership are very passionate about, you know, we are desiring to not just, you know, continue the way that we are and with our spiritual selves and grow spiritually. We also want to grow numerically. And this is a chance when you get inside these schools and spend time with these kids, it's a chance that they see that I have a need that needs to be met, and there's someone who's come who cares enough to spend time, you know, take time out of their day. And we really think that there's some incredible initiatives that we can do getting inside schools first of all, just do kingdom work. But then we get the mutual benefit of getting our name out there and people seeing, because we believe Alta Mesa is an awesome place to be. And so it gives a chance for people to see that, to see how awesome the people of Alta Mesa are.
That was pretty close to 60 seconds. It's pretty close. Kristen, we'll give you the last word. In addition to us giving financially to the goal of the food fundraiser, in what other ways could we support the Panther Emporium?
Sure, thank you. I think what Nate said, we are always looking for community members to come into the building and pour into our students, speak life into them, explain what life outside of high school looks like and how to achieve those goals, give them inspiration and hope for a better future.
Awesome. What we want to do now is just take a moment, and I'm going to say a prayer, and I want this to be kind of a pastoral prayer of sorts this morning. We're obviously going to pray for North Crowley High School and the Panther Emporium and all that's happening there in our partnership, but we also want to take a moment to pray for and be thankful for our veterans today. So as we typically do, if you have served or are serving in the military, would you just stand among us real quickly, please? Thank you so much for doing that. Right? We want you to know that we not only are grateful for your service, but we also, above all, are your spiritual family. And we want to be mindful of you today. We want to pray with you. That God's comfort and love and peace would be with you and over you. And so as a church family, let's just stand together for this prayer. And if you were near one of those veterans, maybe put a hand on their shoulder, say thank you, and let's pray together. So Father, we take this moment to pause, to thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. You are a great and awesome God. We see you working through neighborhood needs, specifically this morning as we talk about the partnership with North Crowley and the Panther Emporium. God, we give you thanks. We thank you for Kristen and all of those who are managing and coordinating the efforts, the students who are helping and coming, the families that are receiving support. God, we just pray for the whole ministry, that you would make it successful, that you would make it grow and prosper, and that above all, that people would come to know you as their loving Father, the one who provides for our needs. So God, we just pray for this ministry. And today, God, we are mindful of our veterans among us. And God, I can't even begin to imagine things that they may have experienced and seen and things that they've done in their service. And so God, this morning, we just pray your presence be known to them, your comfort and your peace just be poured over them. God, would you turn your face toward them and be gracious to them and give them peace. God, as we now turn our hearts and minds toward your word, would you allow us the ability to pay close attention to what you would have for us this morning. We pray all of these things in your name, and the church says together, amen. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it. You may be seated. Thank you. You know, when we set out to rebuild something that has been completely broken down, typically we look at it as a new beginning, as a part of the rebuilding process. In that new beginning process, there are opportunities to include good things from the previous way, but oftentimes we seek a new identity, a new start, a reformed way of living, if you will. And all this is not to say that the former way was bad or forgotten or unhelpful, but as you start again, you seek to improve what was. You want to live like you never have before with God. What are some modern day examples of this as you think about this idea? Perhaps a natural disaster. Maybe you've experienced this. A natural disaster comes and destroys a family's home. Maybe it was your home, and Lord willing, you have insurance and you're able to rebuild, and this is an opportunity to rebuild, to reform what once was. It's an opportunity to do something new. When a loved one passes away, we seek to honor their lives and their memory by living like we never have before with God. Or maybe when a relationship ends to a breakup, or maybe someone moves away, or whatever the cause might be, it's an opportunity for us to expand and to grow. And that first begins with you, right? It begins with me, to make sure that we are right with the Lord in our mind, in our heart, and in our soul. And then we seek new relationships that can be honorable and healthy. Personally, many of you know my story. I destroyed my life little by little early on in my young adult years by all the sinful choices that I was making. I chose to bow down to idols such as uncontrollable rage and pride and selfishness and deceit. And I found myself completely engulfed with dysfunctional behaviors and addictions. But through the grace of God and through the help of many gracious Christians, I began the rebuilding process. And I remind you of that, and for some of you, I tell you that for the first time, because from my personal experience, what I can tell you, what I needed the most, especially early on in the beginning of that process, of that reforming and rebuilding process, what I needed the most were some expectations to steer me in the right direction. And for Nehemiah, if you have your Bible or Bible app, join me in Nehemiah. For him and the returning exiles from Babylon, one of their pressing needs was religious identity. They didn't know who they were. And so if these Yahweh-following Jews, who no longer had an identity as the state or the nation of Israel, how could they? They had been in exile for over 140 years. So their identity was kind of lost, and they were left searching for identity. And according to Nehemiah chapter 8, the norms and the expectations that are found in the law of Moses, some know it as Torah, some know it as the Pentateuch. It's basically the first five books of our Bible. The norms and the expectations found there, they provided this sense of structure and identity for these post-exile Jews, and they were searching for it. I believe as you read Nehemiah chapter 8, you can sense that they are desperate for God's word, for his law, for his expectations and his structure and his way. So remember with me previously in our study of Nehemiah, Nehemiah first came to Jerusalem because he heard about the plight of the city and how it was a shamed place, Nehemiah 1 verse 3. It was a city without honor. And when he arrived, Nehemiah was determined that the walls and the gates would be rebuilt, specifically to deal with the disgrace, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17, the disgrace of Jerusalem's condition. This was important to him. He wanted honor to return to the city. And at first glance, we might believe that the rebuilding of the walls was primarily about protection. And it was, but it wasn't the primary reason for the rebuilding. For Nehemiah, he believed that a reformed city of God would return honor to Yahweh, and it would also restore hope for the people of God. And so the walls, the completed walls, were a symbol of honor and hope. And once they were completed, once they were rebuilt, the walls resulted not only in honor and hope, but also one other thing, in the shame of their enemy neighbors. Look at Nehemiah 6, verses 15 and 16. It was read earlier for us. So the wall was finished. And when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and they lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work that had been done with the help of our God, everything had been completed with the help of God. And these post-exile Hebrews have accomplished this overwhelming and almost seemingly impossible task. They had finished the wall in 52 days. But now, what would bring them together? In chapter 8, we feel this sense, this urgency that they needed something to center them, to unite them, to bring them together. And after the people had settled in their towns, as was their custom of old, it was the first day of the seventh month. And if you do some history lessons of Jewish history, you know that on that day, the first day of the seventh month, there was this sacred assembly. And the people of God would all come together, and so they did this. Men, women, and children were all in one place, much like our gathering today. They came together for a sacred, a holy purpose. It was a unique day, though, on this day, right? They had reason to celebrate. It was a celebration for the completion of the wall, but it was also a gathering of honor, honor to God. And it was a gathering of hope, a hope of something better for the people of God. And there was this sense of urgency. I encourage you to go and read all of Nehemiah chapter 8 today. And as you read it, you almost can feel the urgency from the people coming off of the pages. And so they go, the people of God, go to Ezra, a well-respected scribe and teacher, a man of God known for his knowledge in the law of Moses. And I believe it's significant that Nehemiah says that the Hebrews, they went to Ezra. They said to him, some translations say they told Ezra. So this is coming from them. They're seeking, they're feeling this sense of urgency to hear, to know, and to live the word of God. They tell Ezra, bring out the book of the law of Moses. And the verse there in verse 3, the people listened attentively. The phrase there literally means they gave their ears over. It's almost the picture of they're taking their ears off and saying, God, my ears are yours. Maybe that's where our phrase, I'm all ears, comes from. I don't know, but this phrase here literally means they gave their ears over to God, to the listening, the attentive listening of his word. And as I said before, they were desperate. This urgent desperation, it echoes off of the pages of your Bibles in verses 5 and 6. Apparently, all of the people who were physically able, they began to stand up in this sacred assembly. Ezra, from what I can tell, Ezra doesn't say, let's all be standing for the word of God. He starts reading, and almost out of reverence or urgency or desperation, people just start standing up. And for what appears to be 5 to 6 hours, they stood and they listened attentively as the word of God is read out loud. And it says that Nehemiah and the other Levite priests, they began explaining. I don't know if this is how it happened, but I imagine in my mind that they're walking through the crowd, answering questions, explaining the law of Moses to the people who are hearing it for the first time in its written form. Maybe they've heard stories passed down. Maybe it was an oral tradition. But at this point, they're listening to the actual law of Moses that has been written down. And they're so overwhelmed. They're expressing themselves, as was read for us earlier. At times, there would be people in the crowd just shout, Amen! Amen! in agreement that it would be so, that the people of God would live this way, that they would follow God the way that the law is describing. They're conveying the intensity of feeling from conviction that this is the way that we should live. They're finally finding their identity. They're finding what's bringing them together, what's centering them as a people of God. And as their minds and hearts were soaking in God's word, their emotion was overwhelming them to the point of weeping, to the point of sorrow. Some of them were bowing their head, putting their face in the ground. They're laying prostrate. Some are raising their hands high. Some are shouting amen and amen. And their emotions, they're just overwhelmed in mind and in heart and in spirit. And at some point, as the reading perhaps is coming to an end, in chapter 8, verse 10, their motivator, their leader, the worker among them, their prophet, Nehemiah, he stands before the people, probably on the same platform where Ezra had been, and he just says out loud, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some," I love that part, right? "And send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And that's where our music comes from. That's where the songs that we enjoy, some that we sang this morning, this is the context of which they arose, is out of this moment of the people of God hearing, listening attentively to the word of God for the first time in over 140 years. The word is being read and they're responding to it, and they're emotionally connected to it, and they're responding, amen and amen, may we live this way. My question for us today is a pretty obvious one, right? How do we respond to God's word? Are we moved to not only respond in word, but moved to respond in our living? As we step out to rebuild and reform our lives, I pray that we would have the same longing, the same urgency, the same type of love and reverence for the word of the Lord. May we too read it with a passion. May we listen to it attentively, and may it saturate any new beginning that we take on, any reformation, any transformation that we seek to have and find, may it be saturated in the truth of Scripture. For within the pages of Scripture, we find many things, but above all, and maybe you don't know this, but above all, what we find in the pages of Scripture is a love story. It's God's covenant love, His unconditional love, pursuing us. It's His deep desire and longing to be with us and to be for us. And as we grow in our faith and come to know God more and more, like the Hebrews with Nehemiah and Ezra in the town square in front of the water gate, when we hear the word of God being read, may we respond with amen and amen. And may we remember the words of Nehemiah when he says, "Don't grieve, don't mourn, don't be suffocated, don't be paralyzed by the choices that you made, by the sins of your past. Instead, be motivated and inspired to live for God." Why? How? How can we do that? The joy of the Lord is your strength. So what we're going to do just one more time, just pause for a moment, and we're going to read the Word of God. So I'd ask my next four readers to start making their way down to the front. And I just want to say, as they make their way, may God bless the reading of His Word for His people. Again, please pay close attention. Give your ears over to God as we read His word. Again, there will be moments on the screen where it says congregation, and that's when you will read with our readers this morning. Let's give close attention to the reading of the word.
How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statute as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precept and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees.
May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put you hope in my I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. For I have put my hope in your laws.
I think Mike is indicating that we should all stand as the word of God is written. So would you please stand? You are my portion, Lord. I have promised to obey your word. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to the account. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. I am a friend to all who fear you and to all who follow your precepts. The earth is filled with your love, Lord. Teach me your decrees.
My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. My eyes fail, looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me, though I am like a wineskin in the smoke? I do not forget your decrees. How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? The arrogant dig pits to trap me, contrary to your law. All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for I am being persecuted without cause. They almost wipe me from the earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your unfailing love, preserve my life, that I may obey the statutes of your mouth.